Welcome to Buzzed with Brian. I am your host, Brian. We're going to talk about beer, the history, and drinking. Hey there, beer fans. Welcome back to another episode of Buzz with Brian. Thanks for tuning in this week and every week. So happy to have you all here. I've made a journey southward from one capital to the next, from Madison to Baton Rouge, Louisiana. That's right, the state capital down here. I am sitting in a brand new brewery to me. Very excited about it. It is Rally Cap Brewing Company. And joining me on the mic is the founder, Kevin Whalen. Thank you so much for joining me today, Kevin.
Oh, absolutely, Brian. Happy to have you here. Happy to chat with you.
Absolutely. So I know we'll get kind of into the episode later on here. I'm really excited to, you know, just chat about the space, chat about your story, and highlight a couple beers maybe.
Yeah, absolutely. That sounds good to me.
Cool.
I like to talk about beer.
Perfect. Well, let's get on to today's show. All right. Thanks again for meeting with me today, Kevin. I really appreciate the time. It's cool to sit. We're sitting currently at the bar space here in the tap room. Really neat spot. I can't wait to talk about that later on and kind of give people an auditory visual of what the space looks like for people that are maybe traveling down and to check this space out. But before we get into all of that, Kevin, let's just start out simple. And what's been your journey with beer and how did you end up in this spot?
Yeah, I guess I probably never would have thunk it, like many brewery owners who, if they look back 10 years ago, I started homebrewing, right? like most folks, 2010 or so.
Okay.
And, you know, just got completely obsessed. It was a hobby that became a passion and an obsession. So I bought every bell and whistle on my homebrew set and just kept brewing. And after a while, people really thought it was pretty good. And I was working in the corporate world. And, you know, I think just over time, had thought to myself that I really always had wanted to do something for myself, right? Mm-hmm. And that was kind of the spur to get that going in the back of my head, that I started putting together a business plan and said, one day I'd love to have my own brewery. You know, thought about Baton Rouge. At the time, I was living in Austin, working in San Antonio.
Okay.
And thought, you know, Baton Rouge would be a pretty cool place to come back and open a brewery. I'd been working here in the past, and there was only one brewery at the time. It was a pretty big city, so
seemed like a market that's maybe ready
absolutely,
for another one.
Yeah, I thought, you know, definitely an opportunity there, so just kind of made the leap. So that this was back in 2017. Quit my job.
Wow.
moved back here and just went for it. So just found a building, signed a lease, and heck, over 2 years later, we finally opened the doors in December of 2019.
I got to imagine. This place, I mean, it's beautiful on the inside, and I'm actually kind of surprised you said you signed the lease here. What, I mean, it looks like a brand new building to me, right?
Yeah.
Was it brand new when
No, not at all. Far from it. Yeah, so this, before we renovated it, was a distribution center for a florist.
Oh, no kidding. Okay.
So, yeah. So, you know, when you get a chance to look in the back, you can see through the window a little bit, but we've almost got two separate buildings here. They're connected, but, you know, by a kind of small walkway. And the back was the greenhouse area. It was climate control and all that. And the front was their warehouse and office area.
Okay.
And we completely renovated the entire, especially front area. The back was a black box, so we did this all. So basically, you know, and one of the goals was to make it look fresh and new and
certainly
and
you've
cool.
achieved that. Yeah.
So, you know, I think the thing at the time was the industrial look, and we purposely, I think, went away from that. Even though we're in the middle of an industrial park, we went for clean and newer.
Definitely.
So on the outside, it looks like you're going to walk into an industrial place. You're not, right? It's a pretty, you know, well-renovated and I think cool-looking space. Hopefully people think that too.
Definitely. I mean, my first take on it coming in, I was like, wow, this is a place I could definitely see myself coming back to and hanging out in. And I'm just excited to kind of continue to look around even as we're doing this recording and notice these like small little touches. And I think one thing, the theme is evident, right? It's Rally Cap Brewing. There's definitely a baseball theme here. Yeah. Kind of speak to that. What made you come up with this name and have this theme for this brewery?
Yeah, about, I guess it's plays to the passions in my life. So before my first professional stint, I guess, was in pro baseball.
Oh, okay.
So I worked for 6 years for the Montreal Expos.
Cool. Wow.
Yeah, so it was...
You've been everywhere.
Yeah, we've done... So my three careers are baseball, gambling, uh-huh. and beer.
Okay.
So, yeah, been a pretty interesting three careers. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so I was GM for a couple of their minor league teams for the Expos, and so baseball's just always been a passion. I was, mm-hmm. I think I was too small and squat to ever make it far enough in baseball, so,
sure.
you know, gave up on that dream and got into administration, but always have just loved baseball mm-hmm. and then sports in general. So when we opened this, it was, all right, we want to definitely have a sports bent to it, place people can come and watch the games and hang out. And then we just kind of fell into it and decided to really roll with the baseball. And because we really like the name Rally Cap,
mm-hmm.
Thought that kind of signified community and working together and team as one.
Yeah.
So we really just leaned into the baseball and mm-hmm. have kind of gone with it. Most of our beer names, most of the design touches you see in here are baseball themed.
Definitely.
So we're not completely. We'll do some strange one-off names that might be basketball or boxing or whatever. But mm-hmm. but yeah, we do definitely lean into it. And funny thing is, though, I don't think that sports bar bent is really had anything to do with our business since then. I don't think people. It's not the primary reason people come here.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. So it's definitely the theme, and I like it, and I think some of our guests certainly like it, and they're baseball fans. And we have some old timers who come in and reminisce about, especially when we name something, mm-hmm. The Reds. We did a Reds beer, Big Red Machine, and we'll hear from people. Originally from Cincinnati, all this stuff, and just people like to talk about the names and things like that. So it's been pretty cool. So yeah, that's where the baseball came from.
That's neat. Yeah, definitely a conversational piece, a conversation starter, getting people talking and interacting with the staff. I think that's really neat.
Yeah.
And you kind of made the comment there that struck with me is like maybe the baseball thing isn't the primary reason why people come to Rally Cap Brewing. Well, they're probably coming for the beer, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Let's talk about that.
Definitely. And it's one thing that's evolved over time, and I'm assuming many breweries are seeing the same thing over the mm-hmm. past 3 years. I think especially for us, the first couple years, we were very popular with the craft beer community, right?
Okay.
So
mm-hmm.
so people were coming here for the beer. They thought the beer was good, and that was probably our primary customer base.
Mm-hmm.
And I think over time, as people got to see the space and realized they could just come here with a group of friends and hang out and have a good time and have some good beer, mm-hmm. that became more about what drew people.
For sure.
Obviously we've seen beer styles change and taste change. We were an IPA brewery, hazy IPAs and sours. It was pretty much almost at the beginning, it was 90% of what we did.
Wow.
Because it's what sold. And boy, they would fly out the door.
I'm sure.
Yeah. And just over time, the taste changed.
Mm-hmm.
And so now we are got much more of a variety. We have a strangely light menu right now. We've kicked a bunch of kegs in the past 5 or 6 days.
Okay.
But so it's much more drinkable beer in general, lighter, because I think that's what taste have gone to. So it's not, I don't necessarily think anyone's going to come here for our amber, but mm-hmm. I think it's good. But so I think it's kind of a dual thing. People know we make good beer, and then at the same time, it's a pretty cool place to hang out and hang out with your friends, play some games, watch the game, anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I kind of want to touch base on, you talked about when you first opened up, you were selling a lot of hazies, a lot of sours.
Yeah.
2017, you said, correct?
Well, we opened in 2019.
2019, the official doors opened.
Yep.
So definitely like peak haze craze. Yeah. I mean, I can remember when I lived in Houston, Texas from 2018 to 2020, and that's a lot of the breweries there were pumping out hazy IPAs.
Spindletop was all the rage. Mm.
Obviously the market was driving, that's what people wanted, and you as a business owner, I'm sure you recognize that, but is that, you said you started out with home brewing beer, is that something that those styles that you had a personal interest in, or is it kind of just like demand is what dictated how you wanted to start off your brewery?
A little of both.
Mm-hmm.
I'll admit to this day, I'm still a hazy drinker. That's what I like. And, mm-hmm. or maybe I should say I'm an IPA drinker.
Okay.
Because I love West Coast IPAs as mm-hmm. well. So those are my favorite styles. And so I had an interest in developing hazies when I was homebrewing. But before I opened this, that was kind of one of my goals was, you know how to do hazy well, at least on a homebrewing scale,
mm-hmm.
and then try and be able to take it here. So I really worked on, you know, our flagship beer, which was First Pitch.
Yep. Okay.
Right. And so it's got the dual name, right? It's the first beer. It's also the first pitch of yeast we ever had here.
That's kind of cool.
So yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the name worked, and it was, you know, it was the recipe I really worked on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's a hazy pale ale, and you know, it's still here, so people
still
like
want to drink
yeah.
it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think there's something comforting too. Once you have like a loyal, established, you know, customer base for your brewery, people like turning back to that familiar beer.
Yeah.
Right? I'm sure brewers will tweak things over time and refine things and maybe ingredient sourcing changes, but the base beer is still the same. And I think people really appreciate that. And I think it's cool that you have that here,
yeah.
certainly with the first beer that you ever pitched.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I think something has to do too with ABV levels.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, it's just, you know, it was a lot of doubles for a while.
Definitely.
And mm-hmm. You know, First Pitch is 5.7%. So, you know, you can have a couple of them and
mm-hmm.
Not have to worry too much. So instead of just thinking, I can only do this one, or I can only do this two, or I got to take, you know, I got to buy them and go home with them.
Mm-hmm.
This is, you know, it's one of those you can be a little bit more sessionable.
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely. So I guess from First Pitch to what was the next kind of big beer? What else is in your flagship lineup?
Yeah, well, the next beer that really took off for us is a beer called Wendy Peppercorn.
Okay.
Right, so any fans of the movie The Sandlot will
yes.
recognize mm-hmm. the name. And we did a small batch of Wendy Peppercorn. So we have a one barrel
okay.
pilot system back there.
Okay.
So we did this batch, and it is a golden milk stout.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's, you know, it looks like, I don't want to say blonde, it looks like a golden, it's a, you know, tan,
mm-hmm.
you know, but clear. And it's flavored with coffee, vanilla, and cacao
oh.
instead of the roast grains.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, when we put it on tap, it went like that. And mm-hmm. so we made a tap room only batch, which for us is 15 barrels.
Okay.
You know, mm-hmm. And people were flying through that. And so we would get calls, when are you making Wendy again? When are you making Wendy again?
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, well, maybe this needs to be something that we, you know, have in cans all the time and
mm-hmm.
and put in distribution. So we made another batch, and it's been just steady for us. People,
sure.
There are lots of people out there who will tell you that, you know, Wendy is their favorite beer.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's very unique, you know. It's got a different flavor profile than you're gonna find.
Definitely, I find those, I guess, white stout, pale stout, whatever you want to call it. They're really polarizing because a lot of people, you know, we eat and we drink with our eyes
yeah.
first,
yeah.
and we already start getting these like preconceived notions of what our experience is about to be once we, you know, bring that food or beverage to our palate. And a beer like that just flips
yeah.
the script,
yeah.
and it's
completely
fun.
Tricks them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it also makes them think about it, right? So when they have a little sip of it, when we first introduce it to them at the bar, they're intrigued, right? They want, they're like, oh, I didn't expect it to look like that, and then they didn't expect it to taste like that either.
Mm-hmm.
So so that's a cool experience. Another good intro to people when they first come here the first time. If people are like, well, we just suggest, that is often one that we, you know, at least let them try the first time.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So you had just mentioned, right, that this beer started out as a, you know, one barrel pilot batch
yeah.
to a 15 barrel taproom only to you also do some canning. And I've noticed this just out in the grocery stores here in my first few days in Baton Rouge that, yep, I can see some rally cap beers. Do you have a mobile canning line, or is there a canning line back there?
No, we have a full-fledged canning line
nice.
Back
okay.
there. Yeah, so
mm-hmm.
we've got a Wild Goose. And we kind of needed the canning line pretty quickly, right?
Oh, sure.
I mean,
2019 to
yeah, we
2020.
Started in December of yep. 19, so
yeah.
by March of 2020, I was like, all right, well,
we need to get beer out of here.
Yeah, start canning quickly.
mm-hmm.
And we did that. We just jumped in. We had canned a couple of batches for, you know, taproom take home.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a, you know, just three different beers, I think, and you know, but we already had a distribution contract.
Okay.
And it was with a craft beer distributor, basically a specialty distributor.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were willing to basically take whatever we could get in cans. And, you know, so it helped keep us going, certainly. It was just trying to pump out as many cases of beer as we could. You know, we had at the time had 4 fermenters back there, so we have 30 barrel fermenters. We had 4 of those, and so we were getting a good amount of cans out, and that was good. It was a good intro to us. It was a diving in the deep end on
no kidding,
you know, learning to use that thing. It's just when you're just going at it, and it's a struggle at first. You know, we had the training where the person from Wild Goose came down, spent, you know, a day or two with us, and that was great and all, but when we were left to just swim on our own, it was, you know, it's tough going at the beginning.
Definitely. Yeah.
So, you know, lots of short fills, lots of foam. So we figured it out over time, and that was very helpful for us. So, yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And I guess speaking of the 2020, that year of, yeah, of definitely big challenges to a lot of small businesses, what were some of the things that kind of kept you going through as far as like getting through that year and the next year? And then I'm sure now you've probably seen your tap room space a little more revitalized with the steady in-house sales of draft pours and not having to rely on all this just strictly distribution.
Right. We were able to sell to-go beer out of our garage door too, basically. So no one could walk into our brewery for a long time, so till October. So a very loyal customer base, and customers that were developed during COVID, I think, too, right?
Definitely.
Because people were looking for to get out of the house. And for many
something.
People, we were their daily stop,
yep,
you know, and just come get a 4-pack. And, you know, they couldn't stay too long. They didn't want to get anybody in trouble, you know, but, you know, it was getting them out of the house. And it so we had a kind of a steady flow of traffic to our garage door, and so that helped a lot. That between that and distribution of cans, and you know, obviously the government assistance, just those programs were, you know, we wouldn't have survived without them. So so that was very important, and just seeing the light at the end of the tunnel, you know, once October, November rolled around, eventually we could have people outside by the propane heaters, and we'd go out and serve them and take their orders and bring the beer to them. It was a frustrating time, right? Because you could go here in this area, you could go into Hooters and sit and have drinks, and but you couldn't come here, which was just like, you know.
Make it make sense.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But the same story for everybody. Everyone dealt with that. And, you know, but it was just kind of always seeing that light at the end of the tunnel. And yeah, once we could finally have people in here and get back to full business, boy, we did see that untapped demand that just exploded, especially for the first 6 months after COVID, which was great.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And as we've progressed, you know, it's kind of been an up and down cyclical business in our tap room. And we've just recently, literally about 2 weeks ago, added a wood-fired pizza oven.
Yeah, that's one of the first things I noticed when I walked in. I was like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah. That was one of the big challenges. Like, for, you know, for any brewery who doesn't have food, they rely on food trucks or pop-ups. And, you know, sometimes that's great. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes they show up. Sometimes they don't, right? It's so it's nice to be able to take that in-house and
have it be reliable.
Have it be reliable.
You know it'll be there.
Yeah, we control the quality and what the product is, and you know, for the first just couple of weeks, it's been just phenomenal. So we're really excited about
it.
Nice.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah.
I guess speak to that, since you mentioned the outdoor space, brand new pizza fire oven for pizzas.
Yeah.
Indoor space. Kind of walk us through what's the, you know, the patron customer experience like here. What are some things that people have come to, you know, expect and love, and maybe for someone that's just looking to try out a brewery for the first time, like what would you want to tell them about the space?
Yeah, I think. Especially now that I can speak to the food, it's, you know, we'd like to think we've got a well-rounded experience here where you can, you know, come hang out, have good beer. If you're hungry, you order a pizza, order sandwiches for lunch, and then you can sit down, you can play board games. You know, we're family friendly, which helps, and, you know, you can bring your kids and have a good time. So, you know, I think one of our biggest strengths is our customer service. Our bartending staff is just outstanding.
Okay.
You know, and I think that for us has always been a game changer in terms of people know they're going to get a good friendly experience. They're going to get to know the folks behind the bar. And that's huge. We've developed an amazing core of regulars. So if you look up and you'll see all these banners, those are all regular customers.
Really?
Who were members of our Hall of Fame club.
That is outstanding.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
For reference people, there's probably, I don't know, at least 10 to 15 that I can immediately see. Yeah, that's quite a few banners.
So, and those are, you know, they're lifetime members. They're folks who are here all the time. And, you know, I think that's one thing we've really developed is an amazing community of people. And that's our employees and our customers. The amount of friendships that have been sparked here, there's literally a beer drinking group called the Flugenheimers. Yeah, and they are friends that came together, and they all met here, and they started this drinking group. They get together once a month, and they'll have themes, and they'll, you know, 1 month it'll be farmhouse. Everybody brings in their beer shears, right? And they just, and there's like 40 some people in it now, and they all kind of originated here, and just the network of friends that have developed from here is one of the cool things. So I think it's really, you know, when we're thinking about the name Rally Cap and the thought of a community back in 2017 and 2019, you know, we're most proud that that has really come together. And I think that that's probably, you know, my proudest thing about Rally Cap is the community that's come together from it.
Definitely. I mean, it sounds like a very, very special place for a lot of people, which that's awesome.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're excited. A couple that are regular customers are having their wedding reception here Saturday night.
Wow. Okay.
So yeah, that's our first one. We're excited about that to have couples who, you know, think so much of us that they'd be, you know,
wanting to
such
celebrate their big day
here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you anticipate, is it just going to be the taproom space, or are you going to open up some of the production side?
Yeah, they'll have the back as well. Okay. So they're going to have the tables out there and make a big dance floor out here. And so, yeah, it'll be a pretty fun event.
Very neat.
Yeah, we look forward to it.
So I guess, you know, you mentioned the great team behind the bar. I guess, how many people do you have working for Rally Cap now? What does the team look like?
Well, now it's, we're looking at 10 people now.
Okay.
So it's still not a huge staff. You know, we've got basically a staff of 5 bartenders, and now we have 3 pizza cooks, and myself, and then Diana is our brewer.
Okay.
So back in the day, I was the original head brewer, and came a time when it was just really busy, and it's like, I can't be just doing this all by myself, and so we decided to hire an assistant brewer at the time, and Diana was one of our bartenders.
Okay.
And she told me that she could do the job, and she wanted to do the job, and you know, no experience, but I think that was great because I'm like, if you think you can do it, let's go.
Right.
And
so
her and I brewed together for a year or so until one day, basically, I walked out and said, I'm not going to be here today. This is your brew, and since from that day, it's all hers, and she does a great job, and
that's really neat.
Yeah, and kicks out some excellent beers.
Yeah, so let's maybe talk about that. We kind of highlighted 2 of the original beers already on the show here, just talking about that with the first pitch and then that Golden Milk Stout, the Wendy Peppercorn. What have been some newer, exciting beers that she's kind of produced, and where do you see Rally Cap trending towards?
Yeah, so I think it's a good mix. So we now have 4 full-time beers. So, but the other 2 full-time are important for us. They're really standard-ish styles that I think resonate with a lot of people. So especially in Louisiana, one is called Ambush, and it's an amber ale.
Okay.
People in Louisiana know Abita Amber. Everybody has drank Abita Amber.
Fair enough, yeah.
So there's always that point of reference. Everyone is comfortable ordering an amber. You know, so we're like, oh, let's give this a try. And in similar lines, we did, you know, one batch, not knowing what the future of it would be. It might just be a one-off. It just went over well, and people like amber, and people like this one. So we stuck with that one, and it's become a full-time beer.
Okay.
And then the 4th was we had another beer that really just kind of resonated with folks, and it's Golden Sombrero, our Mexican lager.
For sure.
Yeah. And for us, I think that was something about having a beer in Louisiana when it's really hot, which is a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I say right now, this time of year, it's still pretty nice out there. But a few months from now, it's going to be toasty.
Yeah. And it'll just, one day, it will turn, and that'll be the end of it. And it'll be 95 at least every day. Mm-hmm. And so it was something, and then also, every brewery's had this. It's like, what do you have that's, you know, like Miller Lite or Corona or whatever your mass beer is. And this was kind of our answer to that. Mm-hmm. It's like, all right, you'll like this, right? So if it's your first time having craft beer, and which we get a lot in here, because it's, I mean, it's industrial park. We get people who work in the area.
Sure.
And
looking to have a beer after work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The amazing thing is people have driven by us for God knows how long, and then they just realize that, hey, that, you know, we can actually go in there and drink beer. So we do get a lot of first timers who haven't drank anything other than Miller Lite, Bud Light. So that's our gateway beer, right?
For sure.
That's
valuable. You have to have it. Yeah.
Yeah. It really is. So, and it just flies out of here during, especially during warmer months. Mm-hmm. And then we do rotators, and that's where we get back into our IPAs and sours, right?
Okay.
We've always got them on the board. Every quarter for distribution, we do a new IPA and a sour.
Okay.
And, you know, we've kind of just leaned into which ones have been long-term successes that we've done a bunch of times and people really like. And I still always look forward to putting out the new IPAs. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got one called Designated Sipa, which will be our next one in the beginning of May. And it's a hazy with all New Zealand hops.
Oh, fun.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. And then we also use
flavor.
Yeah, a product called Hop Keef. I don't know if you've heard about that. But yeah, from Freestyle in New Zealand. And man, to me, that's been my favorite kind of non-traditional product.
Okay.
So we've used it in a few beers, and I just love what that does. And that's been one of our most well-received beers lately. So.
Very neat.
Yeah. And then sours are just, you know, to be honest, we just do the same base every time and then just
play
a lot of
with.
Fruit. Yeah, a lot of fruit and vanilla or cinnamon or just whatever the dessert du jour might be for us to make that quarter. You know, we do, right now we've got a peach cobbler sour on, we call Thai cobbler.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's, you know, peaches, cinnamon, vanilla.
Mm-hmm.
And so everything's kind of along that bent, and we just try and make some cool dessert beers, but not overly sweet, right? They're definitely crisp and light.
Still have some good balance.
Yeah.
Which is good. I like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very neat.
Yeah, and then every once in a while we just try and do, you know, one-offs, especially around the holidays. We did a beer with, it was called Coffee and Pancakes. And
wow.
It was, yeah, spelled Coffey. It's a hockey reference for Paul Coffey. And it's a really thick stout, 12-hour boil.
Ooh,
with
yeah
blueberry puree, coffee, and maple syrup.
Okay.
So we try and do those every once in a while, fun ones that people appreciate and kind of you know, test our chops. And
what did that one end up weighing in at? Was that a pretty?
Yeah, it was 13.8.
Oh yeah, big boy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure. It was thick like motor oil. Yep. So it was it was a pretty cool one, but you know, selling mostly 5-ounce pours, which is great.
And, yep.
You know, people get a chance to taste it and. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and but definitely a fun one. So definitely try to do some of those unique type beers as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Does most of that still fit into just brewing in your one barrel pilot system, or
no? Well, put it this way: for Coffee and Pancakes, we did about 5 or 6 barrels.
Okay. Just kind of.
So we'll
split
do a 15 barrel.
Yeah.
Well, and it's just with the extended boil and. The yield loss with a lot of it, really, you know, we can brew a slightly small 15 batch barrel and it ends up, you know, being 6.
Sure.
Yeah, which is not great for our cost of goods, but makes for a fun beer.
Yes. Yeah. Which gets people excited, and you know they're gonna come in and order the other stuff anyways. So
yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's it, sometimes we need to activate the craft beer folks too, right? Who have, you know, used to kind of come for every new release and things like that, and you know. Times have changed. The enthusiasm is not there in general for all of craft beer. So this is how we, you know, get them excited sometimes too.
For sure. Yeah. I can appreciate that.
Yeah.
Very neat. All right. Well, Kevin, I don't know if I have anything else question-wise. I feel like we covered the space, we covered the beer. Anything else you want to add here before we wrap the show up?
No, I don't. I think just, you know, if you're in town in Baton Rouge, stop by and pay us a visit. You know, pizza's pretty good. It's classic Neapolitan-style pizza.
Very nice.
So come have a pizza and enjoy a beer in the tap room, or check us out on grocery stores. You'll find us southern Louisiana, southern Mississippi.
Okay, so you do extend into Mississippi as well?
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yep.
Okay.
So, yeah, south of I-10, basically, the beaches in that area.
Sure.
Yeah.
Very nice. Okay. Yeah. Well, it sounds like there's plenty of good offerings. I'm sure, you know, between the core four beers and cans, probably all easy to find.
So, yeah.
Very
absolutely.
Cool. Awesome.
Absolutely.
Well, that'll do it for us here today. Kevin, thank you again so much for taking the time. Really appreciate it. This episode, when it comes out, there'll be a post about it on my Instagram, as I do with all my episodes, so be sure to check that out. Otherwise, it's available, and as you know, anywhere you listen to podcasts, so feel free to share this with any family, friends, other beer geeks that you know that might want to listen on this and might be taking a trip down to Baton Rouge and check out Rally Cap. I think that's definitely well worth the stop. And until then, can't wait to get back on the mic and enjoy some more beers. Kevin?
All right.
Cheers,
thanks,
beers.
Brian. Yeah, cheers. Thanks for stopping by.